Ah, there you are. Just where I left you yesterday. Nice to see you all. 6:15 on your Thursday morning. It is Thursday already, Matt. Tomorrow is Friday. It's the short working week for many.
Yeah, it still surprises you every time you wake up, doesn't it?
It's the best thing about the bank holiday.
Monday, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Good morning, Emma Jones and Glenn Moore.
Good morning.
Guys, great having you on. And Glenn, we're going to start with you today because yesterday you were telling us all about a bookshelf crisis that you're having. Here we go.
Yes. And so sometimes the books are of different heights, so you look like a prize fool if the books are constantly going up and down all the time. But then also, like with regards to the names as well, like Stephen King used to write under the name Richard Bachman, so am I supposed to look at two different shelves if I want to read thinner? Like, the whole thing is a nightmare. Yeah.
Same for J.K. Rowling, Robert Galbraith. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Yeah. So I personally think you do author in alphabetical order, but then you do the books in like height order.
Yes, okay, more colour-coded.
I'm
colourblind, Matt. Why the hell would I do that? Come on.
How dare you, Matt Dyson!
So, a few things on that clip. Firstly, Matt has pointed out to me during that last song how quickly I turned coat on him.
Yeah, because you were during the year. colour-coding is a great idea. How dare you, Matt? You're colourblind.
I'm that awful kid at school, aren't I? Oh, I'm with the hard kids.
Oh, suddenly Dave Knight's a colour-coding because you remember, like I just have, that's colourblind. sorry again, Glenn.
First thing. Secondly, have you come up with a solution to the bookshelf conundrum, Glenn?
No, they're on a big pile on the floor next to me. So at the moment, they feel like a loyal dog by my feet.
And lastly, well, that clip gives you the opportunity to win a mug. And all you need to do is answer this question. Glenn clearly is a man of many, many books. But which celebrity's autobiography was titled My Word Is My Bond? Whose autobiography was named My Word Is My Bond? 8, 12, 15, your names and your answers, please.
The Absolute Radio Breakfast Show with Wix Trade Pro.
Right now, members can get a 20-kilo bag of Setcrete latex floor levelling compound for just £14.40.
Always cheaper with Wix Trade Pro.
6:35 on your Thursday morning. Welcome along to the show where it is time to give away a mug, and waiting patiently on line one is Darren. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Very good, hello. Darren. Great having you on. I'm privy to the fact that if you are to win the mug, you are going to keep it in the pub that you have in your house.
Oh, yeah, in the back room.
The pub in the back room. That's a good name for a book. So, Darren, what kind of setup have you got here? By the way, along with Out Out and Beveragino, the words man cave are banned from this breakfast show. So tread carefully, my friend. But what kind of setup have you got?
Oh, it's just a nice little bar assembly in the corner with some optics, few shelves. And mainly whiskey backing the wall.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, would we find you sipping whiskey from a Daybury Breakfast Show mug, Darren?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and what's sad about that image? Nothing, I tell you, nothing. Okay, Darren, all you need to do is tell me this. Whose autobiography is titled My Word Is My Bond?
The one and only Roger Moore.
It is Roger Moore. Darren, congratulations. Yes. Great having you on the show. You have won that mug, and there'll be a chance for you to win one tomorrow morning.
The Absolute Radio Breakfast Show with Wix Trade Pro.
In this windy weather, we've got you covered with fence panels and posts, plus members can save 10%.
Always cheaper with Wix Trade Pro.
Social ammunition.
Thank you, Dave. This was sent to me, first story was sent to me by Mr. John on Twitter, who said this might be some social ammo gold for you. It's a question from a job application that's gone viral over the past 24 hours. Someone called Beta posted it, and it's a genuine job application form. It was listed as a required question that you had to answer to get the job, and the question was, you've been given an elephant. You can't give it away or sell it. What would you do with the elephant? That was the question. And you have to you have to respond to that. I don't know what it tells you about a person.
It sounds like the boss of the company has accidentally found themselves an elephant and they're asking the applicant to be like, do you have any ideas?
I'm really struggling here. I don't know what to do.
I bought an elephant for the kids and I realised I'm making a hair up.
So you can't give it away. So I think I'd sort of keep it in the garden as a pet for a while and then... It would grow too big, and then I think the neighbours would start complaining then.
Yeah.
They'd probably call in the local council people, and they'd take it away. So I still wouldn't give it away or sell it.
So you'd wait for it to grow so large that the neighbours would complain and the RSPCA would come and get your elephant?
Because it's an elephant. It's going to be massive, isn't it? And in the meantime, the kids can ride around on it in the back garden.
But can't you just call the RSPCA at the very beginning so it gets the care it needs?
I think that would be classed as giving it away.
Couldn't you call the police and say, someone is forcing me to keep an elephant? And they won't let me give the elephant away. I mean, the police will probably hang up.
Yeah.
You could call the police and say, when I applied for this job, I liked the wages and the holiday plan, but I didn't realise the elephant was for real. Please send help.
What is going on? There's quite a few good suggestions from people underneath it in the thread. Someone called Tom Peck said that you should tie it up in the living room and when people come around, just pretend it's not there and completely refuse to discuss it. Someone else said, since the premise is unrealistic, so too should be the answer.
Okay.
Shrink it to the size of a cat and keep it as a pet. Or technically, I don't think setting it free cats is giving it away. Someone else said, I think the correct answer is to buy a farm, hire someone to take care of the elephant, paying for it with the very high salary that you're going to give me once you give me this job.
Right.
So there's some options there if you ever come across that in the job application form. ever again. The other story is a little TikTok video from a barista at Starbucks revealing how they flirt with customers using a marker pen and a cardboard cup. Here he is describing what they get up to.
If you're ever wondering if your barista's flirting with you, this is how to find out, right? So a normal cup will say, careful, the beverage you're about to enjoy is extremely hot, right? But this is what we do. I'm going to show you what I made earlier, Art Attack style. Right? So it says, careful, and then you scribble out the reference, says, you are extremely hot. Check your cups, guys.
Wow. I believe on first dates they call that banter. And young people of today are very much into such things.
Sounds like we have a new king of banter on our hands, this guy, Boy Bellas on TikTok. But yeah, so you just... There's a warning about the cup being hot. You scribble out the main bit of the warning, it just says you're extremely hot.
To be honest, given how they spell our names on Starbucks cups, I've given up reading the cup.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Glenn's been proposed to 7 times on a mug, but he doesn't know.
Yeah. But it said Glon, so I didn't read it.
Glon will do mum and me.
Exactly. Surely this must happen a lot and people just don't notice. And then
it's like, look, I've got a face mask on, my glasses have steamed up. Early. I want a coffee. Now is not the time, barista. Now is not the time.
Also, it's a potential health and safety nightmare because if that's a real warning about the hot cup, if someone burns their hand because some idiot scribbled out the warning...
Oh yeah, Starbucks could be sued.
There could be some legal action on their hand. So really,
we're not suggesting that anybody does that.
Baristas, be careful when you're using the marker pen.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
What about this elephant then?
You'll be talking about it later and I've saved your data.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast. Absolute Radio.
One breakfast show, 8 different playlists on the main station. That's David Bowie and Starman, one of my favourite songs of all time. But of course, that's my favourite song of all time. What you want to listen to is entirely up to you. May I suggest you ask your smart speaker to, I don't know, play Absolute Radio 90s. Or you can download the free Absolute Radio app and get stuck into the 60s. We've got music from the 70s. We've got Absolute Radio 10s. We've got classic rock. We've got it all going on for you people. And that... coupled with Matt's chest, which I'm looking at right now.
Sounds like an unusual selling point.
I'm going to go and sit on your chest again, Matt.
Yes, this is an antique... antique chest from the Shepperton Film Studios.
Covered in grey hairs.
Some people were saying when they saw pictures of the chest on our socials that it wasn't as hairy as they'd imagined. But it's got my name printed on it.
Yeah, so Matt has been sent a chest from the props department at Shepperton Studios which says M. Dyson on it. We're going to be speculating as to which movie or TV show it could have appeared
in. Some big news on that coming up, isn't there?
Wow, yes, that's coming up just after 8:30. But now, well, it's a good excuse to tie those two things together and have a Beat the Intro film edition. So we're going to go through our decade of specialist stations with a famous piece of music from a famous film.
You do realise these are two things that Glenn is best at.
I just said the same thing as well.
Like, not necessarily. I might suck at soundtracks. I have no idea.
There are 3 points up for grabs for each answer this morning, ladies and gentlemen, because you get a name, you get a point for the name of the band or artist, a point for the name of the song, and a point for the name of the film. I hope you're playing along where you are, and representing movies from the 1960s is this.
Glenn.
Emma.
Glenn.
It's Simon and Garfunkel, Mrs. Robinson from The Graduate.
It is! 3 points to Glenn.
Quick and so it begins.
Right. From the 1970s, we have this classic.
Glenn.
Nice.
Glenn.
It's just the Star Wars theme by John Williams and A New Hope.
It's, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, that's another great. 3 points. Yeah. Star Wars, main titles with John Williams, Star Wars, A New Hope. Yeah. Okay. Matt Dyson, Emma Jones, you need to claw it back here as we move into a movie representing all things 1980s. Here we go.
Oh, Dyson.
Matt.
Oh. Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Axel F.
Yes.
Harold Faltermeyer.
There he is.
Wow.
I was going to say Crazy Frog, so I'm glad I didn't buzz in.
His film was great, to be fair.
Right, OK. And finally, for this round, we have more stations to get through, but we end for now on Absolute Radio 90s and this classic movie.
Glenn.
Oh,
Glenn.
God. It's John Williams again.
Yeah.
And it's just the Jurassic Park theme from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Gotta give him that.
It is. Well done, Glenn. You have got 9 points at the end of the first round. Matt, you've got 3. Emma, you are yet to score, but we have more stations and movie soundtracks coming next.
Now, right now, it's time for something new.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
We've got the good news or the bad news?
Good news?
The good news is we've got 4 more stations and movie theme tunes to get through, so everyone's got a chance to score. The bad news is, from a previous show, I believe that Glenn is the only person who's seen this movie. So it could be, once again, advantage Glenn Moore, as we have this movie representing Absolute Radio Noughties. You get a point for the name of the film, a point for the name of the band, artist or composer, and a point for the name of the ditty. Here we go.
Glenn. Is it Pirates of the Caribbean? And, who would have done it? Hans Zimmer?
It's not Hans Zimmer. You're frozen out. If anyone is able to get this, I'll give you 5 points.
Surely John Williams is worth a shot. He wrote everything.
It's not John Williams, Emma. I see where you're coming from. Matt Dyson, say 2 words to me. Come on.
I've got no idea who wrote the
film. I know it's on the tip of your tongue. You were going to say Klaus Badelt, weren't you?
No.
Yeah, of course you were.
I should have gone with my gut instinct. Klaus Badelt.
And guess what that song's called? The theme to Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
It's called He's a Pirate.
Oh, is it? Really? Okay,
he's that a pirate. That was in comedy value, so very well done if you got Klaus Badelt. Right, Absolute Radio 10s. Here we go.
Glenn.
What?
That's Hans Zimmer and it's Inception.
That's Hans Zimmer. Now that's what I call Hans Zimmer.
That's his greatest hit.
It is. You've got Inception, that's the movie. It is Hans Zimmer, he's the composer. Right. Can you name the song?
No.
I'm pleased about that because I'll have to take your cool badge and that was yesterday. It's called Time.
Oh.
Okay. It's really sinister, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it ruining the vibe? Are we bringing the show down?
There's not much going on, is there, really?
No, that's true.
It's not Hans Zimmer's best.
What's
it's
like 3 notes.
What's a critique of Hans Zimmer's work?
It's not up there with the Going for Gold theme tune, which is my favourite song by Hans Zimmer.
That's the most incredible fact in history, isn't it? Hans Zimmer on Going for Gold.
I still marvel at that fact.
You know, Going for Gold, it is on, time is right. Time for you, for you to play the game.
Well, that's very different for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I love the idea that he tried to submit it for something like Inception. And they were like, nah, it's the wrong vibe, man. Maybe send it on a game show.
You should have
not the vibe.
You should have seen Henry Kelly coming out on a daytime TV show to this. Hello there, we've got another four teams with us this morning. Right. Okay, representing classic rock is this movie. Here we go.
Glenn.
Oh,
that's Craig Cornell from Strow. You know my name?
It is incorrect, Glenn. Oh, you've got the name of the artist wrong.
Yes.
Emma. Oh. Is it Chris Cornell?
It
Chris
is. Cornell.
Oh, my
so
God.
2 points. Oh. Craig Cornell, of course, is his lesser-known stepbrother.
Yeah,
okay, so, Glenn, you've got 14. You've wrapped this one up. Matt, you've got 3. Emma, you have managed to get a point.
Yes.
As we head into the final movie, representing Absolute Radio, this...
Glenn. Is it The Dark Knight?
Oh.
No, it's not, and you're frozen out.
Oh.
Little clue, though, Glenn's obviously, as always, on the right kind of track.
Is it The Joker?
No. Emma?
I've got no idea.
It's Batman Begins, the Batman Begins theme song.
And can I guess who did it?
Yeah, go on.
Is it Hans Zimmer again?
Go, it's
it?
Glenn! Far be it from me to critique one of the great movie composers, Hans Zimmer, but let's have a little listen to his work, shall we? This is what he offered up for millions of pounds for Batman. And then here's another few million for your hands for Inception. Stealing a living.
Yeah.
Stealing a living.
He really peaked with going for gold, didn't he?
So, as I say, Emma, you got a point. Matt, you got 3. Glenn, you got 15. I hope you did well wherever you are.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show with Wix.
Victorian style, contemporary metro, marble effect. Shop our tile ranges in store and online and get everything you need to complete the project, including grout and adhesive.
Let's do it right.
Five words.
Absolute Radio.
Yes, here we go. Time for radio's easiest game to play, but the hardest one to win. Giving it a go this morning is Janine. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning, Dave.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm nervous and I've been in a very long time.
Okay, don't be nervous. We're all in it together. Have you been practicing?
Yeah.
Smart speaker or just getting family members to yell words at you at random?
No, on the Alexa, but it's so difficult.
Okay, yeah, it is difficult on the smart speaker, that's for sure. What's the most amount you've ever matched?
3
out of 5. Which member of the team would you most like to get matched with this morning, Janine?
Oh, Matt, if possible.
Oh, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, lovely Matt.
Lovely, lovely Matt.
A bit weird now, but...
Are you aware of Matt's chest, Janine? Have you been looking at Matt's chest online?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been on the socials, had a little peek? We're going to be working out which movie it's been in a little later on in the show, in fact, in about an hour's time. Okay, let's spin the random player generator and see if you've got, quote-unquote, lovely, lovely Matt. Here we go.
Lovely Matt.
Player generator.
What's going on?
Glenn Moore. Matt Dyson.
Oh, lovely, lovely Matt. Yes, Janine.
Yes. Okay, good luck. Lovely, lovely Janine.
Come on, Matt, don't be weird.
Matt, if you could step over your own chest and leave the studio, that'd be great. Okay, Janine, you've clearly got a soft spot for Matt Dyson. And who can blame you? I've known him half my life. He's easy to love. He's wildly lovable. Okay, Janine, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give you 5 words. You say the first word that comes to mind. We'll give Matt Dyson the same 5 words. If all 5 match, you're going to win £5,000. Good luck.
Thank you.
First word this morning is easy.
Oh, my gosh. Easy. No, I'll take it back. This is worse than Alexa. My God, easy. I don't... Peasy?
It works.
It does. I like it. It's good. Will lovely, lovely Matt say it though, Janine?
Right. No, he will.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. So some people would have gone for the obvious opposite in that case, I believe. But it's a good follow on.
Oh no!
It's a good follow on. Don't worry.
The opposite.
That's okay.
Okay, go on.
The next word is hands, not as in Zimmer, who we were just talking about and beat the intro, as in H-A-N-D-S, hands.
Hands. Feet.
Twist.
Turn.
Mountain.
Climb.
Bath or bath?
Shower.
Okay.
I'm rubbish at this.
Janine, don't give yourself a hard time. We've got your five words. Stay there. Lovely, lovely Matt Dyson is back in play. It's coming up next. Stay right there.
Five words. £5,000.
Absolute Radio.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show with Wix.
Get the grey marble effect slate porcelain Everest wall and floor tile for just £11 a square metre.
Let's do it right.
Five words. £5,000.
Absolute Radio.
Lovely, lovely Matt Dyson is back in the studio. Janine is waiting patiently on line one. Janine, please don't mention anything about the words that you gave me because that would be against the rules. But do tell us how you're feeling right now.
Embarrassed.
Oh,
even
Janine! No. Come on.
The dog looks at me funny.
So you know it's not gone well when the dog's giving you a funny look. Is that what you're saying, Janine? Thanks for the name of the podcast, though, Janine. I'll give you that much. Right, here we go. Matt Dyson, the first word that I gave to Janine was easy.
Hard.
Matt! I'm not your friend anymore.
Easy.
It was the obvious. It was
peasy.
It is
peasy. Yeah. It is easy peasy.
Peasy would have been my second option.
Would it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but I thought hard was just too much of a gimme.
Yeah.
The opposite in that situation.
No, it was a gimme.
Sorry, Janine, you've not won the money. So let's go through your other answers, shall we? Hands, not Zimmer, as
hands,
in these things here.
Free.
Feet.
Oh, yeah.
Twist.
Stick.
Turn.
Oh.
Mountain.
Climber.
Climb.
That's what I said, climb.
What's the cut-off point?
So, we need to match this to get one out of five.
Oh, no.
Bath or bath, as you call it, Matt.
Matt.
Oh, shower.
Oh, no.
It is a 0 out of 5 on £5 Words £5,000 this morning. But, Janine, it has been a charm having you on the show and getting to know you a little bit. Stay safe. Send our love to the family.
Will do. Thanks very much.
Cheers,
take
Janine.
Care,
take care. Yeah, bye now. Bye.
Matt.
Oh, lots of love. lovely Matt. So this means we're going to be playing again tomorrow. If you'd like to have a go, it's 0330-123-1215. Call us right now. And as Janine spelled out perfectly there, you can get some practice in using your Amazon smart speaker. Just ask it to open 5 words, game.
5 words. £5,000.
Absolute Radio.
Good morning, 7:55 on your Thursday. And up next on the show, I want to ask, have you ever pretended to be somebody else? Whether in person or on the phone. The number is 81215. This is after a shocking revelation. You think you know someone. Sarah Jane, my wife, the woman I love more than anyone else, she used to pretend to be her own mum and phone in and get days off school.
Oh, did she?
But not only her own mum, the lovely Lynn, she did it for all of her friends as well.
Oh, wow.
She has played the role of all of her school friends' mothers. It's like finding out you're married to Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I keep expecting Tom Hanks to break through the door.
That's amazing.
To arrest her.
That's very impressive. She must have been a good actor then to have pulled that off.
It's just incredible to think about. It's unnerved me. It really has. So I want to know, have you ever pretended to be somebody else? It could be on the phone, like my wife, or it can actually be in person. The number, as I say, is 81215. And as I always say, we're going to get into it next.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show with Wix.
The fashionable, contemporary and extremely hard-wearing Araton grey laminate flooring is only £11 a square metre.
Let's do it right.
10 minutes past eight on your Thursday. Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Well, yesterday I was hit by the revelation. My wife told me that as a kid, she would not only pretend to be her own mum, the lovely Lynn, and phone into school to take the odd day off, but she did it on behalf of all of her friends. She played the entire cast of her friends' mums.
That's outrageous.
Outrageous, Matt Dyson.
Bueller-esque.
David, may I say your wife is Bueller-esque. Why, thank you, sir. So we're asking about the times you're pretending to be somebody else, and calling straight into the studio on line one is Rachel. Good morning, Rachel.
Hello, Dave. Hello, team.
Hello.
Hello.
Rachel, great having you on. So you're pretending to be somebody else on the phone. Tell everyone who you called, first of all. Who did you call?
Right, it was my dad.
You called your dad, right. And who were you pretending to be?
Well, he was having this phase of, like, he was desperate to get on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and he's a bit competitive, and he kept on going on and on about it. So I accidentally phoned him, pretended to be a researcher for the programme, and told him he'd got on.
Oh, Rachel, no. So did he not realise it was you? Did he realise it was you in 30 seconds, or how long did you manage to keep him on the phone for?
No, because I've pranked him quite a few times over the years. you put on a posh accent, and that just throws him.
Rachel, you've got to give us a little bit of it. I want to hear, what does a programme researcher for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire sound like in your mind?
Right, so here it was. Michael, is that Michael English? It's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the team here. Can I have a quick chat with you, please?
Oh, right.
I thought you were saying your name was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Hello, this is Countdown.
So, Rachel, so you've got the accent on, your dad hasn't twigged. You say he's really competitive. He was desperate to get on the show, so he must have been so excited at this point, Rachel.
Oh, God, yeah, you can tell when you've got him hooked, because his voice goes, he's on his best behaviour, and he puts on this lovely little voice. It's quite good to hear.
So then you told him that he needed to make a note of your name, and what happened then?
Oh, this is the best bit. Oh, right. I said, right, I'll spell it for you, because it's, it's a bit difficult. So I started spelling out Rachel. And he got just to the end of Rachel on the E-L, and he said, I said, I'm going to need to get a pen. I'll just put my cream cake down.
Oh, you've made Dad put his cream cake down to go and get a pen, Rachel.
Yeah.
Did he forgive you?
Yeah, he did swear at me a bit.
Rachel, great having you on the show. Thank you very much indeed for sharing your story of pretending to be somebody else. You're allowed to prank your own father, aren't you?
Yeah, but I imagine he probably called her really excited after he put the phone
down. Oh, don't.
You never guess who I've just heard from.
Do you know what? I wish I hadn't had Rachel on now. I feel awful. The putting down the cream cake to get a pen. Oh. Rachel, how could you? Keep them coming. 8, 12, 15.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show podcast.
Absolute Radio.
Matt's still desperately confused as to why Rachel's dad continued to hold a cream cake whilst on the phone. Spent the entirety of that last song just going, why is he still holding the cream cake,
just Dave? Imagine it. He's got his receiver in one hand, cake in the other, and he's like, I'll just keep hold of it.
It's only tricky if he's got one of those phones that I imagine you have, Matt, where it's like one separate hand on the left holds it to your ear, and then you've got the separate piece that holds it to your mouth. Yeah.
They're the only ones we have in the village. Yeah.
The one phone, which is at the end of the road, road. We're asking the times you pretended to be somebody else. Rachel pretending to be a researcher from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to prank her dad. Matt Dyson, tell us about the time you pretended to be someone else.
It was a few years ago. I think I must have mentioned it on the show at the time, but I had to pretend to be someone else in front of Patsy Kensit.
Right.
Because she... I was just leaving the building down in as you walk towards reception, and she just walked into the building, was waiting by the lift, and she said hi. I said hi, just thinking, oh, that's nice, there's Patsy Kensit. And then she stopped and started talking to me.
Right.
As if she knew me.
Right.
And going, how are you? Been ages, hasn't it? How are the family? I was like, okay, fine. And then I realised about 30 seconds in that there was this producer who worked here at the time when she did a show on magic called Ollie, who looked very similar. I don't know if you remember. He looked very similar to me. Uncannily similar to me.
We unconventionally handsome.
Yeah.
In well, a He-Man suit. Yeah.
Got it. Macho guy, yeah.
I'd like to see
clearly,
his chest.
And I realised she thinks I'm Ollie. Right, she thinks I'm Ollie, and I just carried
So did you
it.
Pretend to be Ollie?
I just said, yeah, all good. Yeah, great. They're all fine. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. And I'm going, this Pazzy Kensit thinks she knows
I can't
me.
Remember the name of Ollie's children. Are they boys or girls?
And then I think even Patsy realised by the end of the small talk.
Oh, no.
She had that look in her eyes going, I don't think you actually are the person I thought you were.
So then she's thinking, so why is this guy pretending to be someone I used to work with?
And imagine it's if really Ollie awkward. Had walked into the lift at that time, it would have blown her mind.
Oh, that wow. Would have been great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So how did you leave it? Did you go, I'll see you soon?
Yeah, okay, I'll see you later. Yeah. And we
she's
carried
like,
on.
Who is that guy?
As if I was Ollie. I pretended to be Ollie for a full minute.
Wow. Daddy's got in touch saying, Dave, I have done this, yes, but not deliberately. Someone asked me for my autograph once. I have no idea who they thought I was. So I just did an illegible scribble and they seemed happy enough.
Great.
Still to this day, I cannot figure it out.
Wow.
Morning, Dave. I work security for Take That Gigs and sign posters for Mark Owen out of the backstage door because the band had already left. Ooh. And I didn't want to leave the fans disappointed.
Oh, they will be now.
You've been holding on to that calendar of Mark Owen since the 90s. No. And it was signed by the security guy.
That must happen a lot.
It does happen. Whispers. Emma, ever pretending to be someone you're not?
Yeah, I used to pretend to be my sister to get into clubs all the time because she's older than me. But it horribly backfired when she also came into the same nightclub that I'd already used her ID to get into.
Right. Wow, what are the chances? Two people with the same name, date of birth.
I know.
In this club at the same time.
Yeah, it went horribly wrong. I hid from the security guard in the toilets and he came and kind of dragged me out.
Really?
Out
both
hour. Yeah, and both hour.
Oh, my God.
Which clubs were you going to? Was it Mad Max? Or?
I mean, this is Southend on Sea, so like anything goes.
They take
really.
Security very seriously.
Yeah.
No messing. Glenn, what about you?
It wasn't so much like a completely different person, but I was on the tube once with some friends on the way back from a night out.
You saw
they were all
Patsy
a bit sort of
Kensit,
worse for wear.
Yeah.
And so we decided we wanted to get a pizza, so the tube was now in like the outdoors bit so we could get phone signal. So I rang up Domino's and just to entertain my friends decided to put on a completely different voice apropos of nothing, and the tube was completely empty, so it was fine. So as soon as like Domino's picked up, I was like, hello, I'd like to order three pizzas please. And it wasn't funny, but it was like I did this for ages. And then the tube arrived at Finchley Road, which is quite a busy tube stop, and about 50 people got on the tube and I hadn't finished ordering the pizza.
Yes,
so I had to quietly mutter sort of go,
and a pepperoni please.
Oh, thank you all for your stories of pretending to be somebody else. Keep them coming. It's 8:12:15.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show with Wix.
Dunox Easy Care Coloured Emulsion is now only £18, was £22. Shop online and in store.
Let's do it right.
What are you doing, Dave?
Just rubbing your chest.
Giving a quick clean.
Giving it a bit of a polish.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Look at it gleam under the studio lights. It's beautiful. So somebody called Shay at Shepperton Movie Studios, the legendary Shepperton Movie Studios, was cleaning out the props cupboard where lots of films and television have gone to get their props in over the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
And stuck at the back was a large brown trunk with M. Dyson stenciled onto the front.
Yeah.
Now, Shay doesn't know which movie or television show it has appeared in. That's your job. 8:12:15. There is a picture of it on our socials, or you can go to Dave_Berry_Insta and see it there as well. I'm sprawled across Matt's chest in that particular picture. Go check it out. So many of you are helping us on our journey to find out where it's from. Stan and Ollie, says Tracy Jones. Oh, she thinks it might be in Stan and Ollie.
That was filmed at Shepperton, that's right.
Was it really?
Yeah, so it could have been that, around the same era as the trunk.
Kev has a question. Was there a Mary Dyson in Titanic?
Oh.
Oh.
Was there?
I don't know.
We should have looked
that up. We're going to give this to Mark Smith because he was the first person to get in touch, but we had many of these. There is, of course, a Miles Dyson in Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yeah.
So he's the guy who creates the microchip that leads to Skynet, that leads to the downfall of humankind.
That's right, yeah. I've been aware of him, but yeah, Mary Dyson we need to look into. So it could have been Titanic or Terminator.
Well, so far there's big hitters.
Chest could have been in that.
Says Dan, the man with the golden gun. Is it the chest that Roger Moore puts knick-knack in?
Oh. That would be amazing.
Is he still in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, we haven't opened it yet.
No, actually, we'll look into that tomorrow. But so many of you have got in touch, including Simone in Highgate, saying, Dave, Matt's chest may belong to Richard Gere in the movie Yanks. Now, let's get into this one a little deeper, shall we? Because Simone is absolutely right. Back in 1979, Richard Gere, one of the most famous Hollywood heartthrobs of all time, starred in a movie named Yanks.
Yeah.
They're oversexed and they're over here, was the tagline.
Yeah.
And his character was called Matt Dyson.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Should we have a listen to the trailer?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Masterful. A tremendous achievement, says the Hollywood Reporter. An enormously powerful experience, impossible to watch unmoved, says the Los Angeles
Times.
They're
describing you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Richard Gere.
Pretty country.
And Vanessa Redgrave star in Academy Award-winning director John Schlesinger's critically acclaimed Yanks. Millions of Americans land in Britain on their way to war.
Never wanted anyone like I want you. Gotta believe that.
Why should I believe you?
I don't know if I'm coming back.
If that's the best bit of Yanks.
Yeah.
Trailers were so weird.
Oh, my goodness. They tell you, like, the least interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So dull.
And human Technicolor. All the air-conditioned.
I know they do give away a bit too much of the film in modern trailers, don't they? But these just showed the worst bits.
Very cryptic. Let's have a little listen to your name being said. This is you as Richard Gere in Yanks. Here we go.
Matthew, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
After the apostle.
And this is as close as we could get, by the way.
Yeah.
And there's this.
This is my brother, Jeff.
Jeff, how you doing? Hi, I'm Matt.
Matt.
How are you?
Through there. Brought you some things I thought you might like.
I wouldn't normally do this, but I'm going to play the large crowd applause sound effect for producer Sam, who sat through all of Yanks to get those two clips.
Oh, wow.
What a hero.
It's 2.5 hours long. You know. Second World War film in Northern England. Even the write-up says it features no combat scenes. It's not like a war film. It's just like a romance film set during the war. But Technical Sergeant Matt Dyson sounds like he was quite a stud.
And obviously, if you're... Yeah, he's oversexed and he's over here. Yeah, the tagline, not my words.
Yeah.
A bit like producer Sam in many ways. So he would have obviously bought a trunk to pack all his belongings
in. I mean, the scene with a steam train, that's the sort of thing he would have used, that sort of chest.
Have you spotted Matt's chest in a film or television programme? The number is 81215. Our research, with your help, continues.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.
And that's it for your Thursday morning. Lovely having you tuned in. And thank you to those of you who took the time to get in touch. Don't forget, if you think you've seen Matt Dyson's chest in a film or television programme, it's brown, it's got M. Dyson written on it, then let me know via email, dave@absoluteradio.co.uk. And of course, well, you can chart the journey via podcast. But shall it be called The Dog's Looking at Me Funny? Yeah. David, may I say your wife is Bueller-esque? I pretended to be somebody else in front of Patsy Kensit or Stephen Mulhern's stunt double. What are we going for, Matt?
I think Mulhern's stunt double in honour of our boss.
Okay, that's the podcast that you're searching for. Please do subscribe, rate and review. And know this, we'll be back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Stay safe, stay entertained.
He came, he saw, he tried to conquer, but alas, we've told him to come back tomorrow and try again. The Dave Berry Breakfast Show Podcast.
Absolute Radio.